And if you consider, the brothers have been helping us in the evening line with regards to our living. And with our living, with respects to the Lord's coming, we live as if the Lord is coming, not tomorrow, but today. Amen. We live as if the Lord is coming today. Amen. But with regards to our working, we live as if the Lord will be greatly delayed. Because in all honesty, with regards to our work, we don't know whether or not the Lord is going to come today. And so with regards to the work, we have to take care of our future, and we always have to have a view for the future. And this fellowship has a lot to do with our future, and not just the future of the work on the campuses, but even more the future of the Lord's recovery. And the topic of this fellowship is reading the word and the ministry with a long-term view of constitution. Reading the word and the ministry with a long-term view of constitution. That's what we want to fellowship about today. And so just to begin, I would just like to focus this fellowship on your sober mind. This is not something to get excited about. This is something that actually we have to be very sober about in our consideration. And I think a lot of us, even in the fellowship during the semi-annual training, the fellowship that we've been having in this training has really stirred us up and given us an appreciation for the ministry that we have. But we can't stop with an appreciation for the ministry. We need to have a very sober consideration with regards to our capacity. What is my capacity to getting into this ministry every day? I need What goals could I make so that practically I could be a person who is reading this ministry every day? What about this matter of scheduling, setting aside time, and all these things we're going to take care of? But so just remember, this is not about being excited. This is about having a very clear mind and realizing that we're doing something here for the future and we have a long-term view. The matter of constitution is, it takes a long time. Okay, with that, I'll just get into it a little bit here. In the Lord's recovery, we have a little bit of a legacy. And that legacy is that we are a group of people who know the truth. That's our heritage, and that's our legacy. And I appreciated Brother Craig speaking, a few nights ago, where he held up the two ministry books, right? And then he started with John Nelson Darby, and then he talked about a little bit Robert Gavette, and then he mentioned D.M. Patton, and then he mentioned Emmy Barber, and then he mentioned Watchman Nee, and then he mentioned Witness Lee. All these ones had a development and were inheriting from the others that went before them. And you could say that this ministry is an all-inheriting ministry because it's been inheriting for all the ones who have been studying the truth and who have known the truth. Things have been gleaned from these ones and have been compiled together into this ministry. And so the, you know, brothers have been standing on one another's shoulders throughout the centuries to bring us to where we are today. And a characteristic of the Lord's recovery is that we are a group of people who know the truth. And I was reminded of this verse. It's 2 Timothy 2:2. And it says, "And the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also." And in this verse, you see kind of a continuation, a progression, and a development of the ministry. First, you have Paul. He said, "The things you heard from me," Paul, "through many witnesses." Paul spoke some things, and there were many witnesses who also testified concerning those things. And then he told Timothy, "The things which you have heard from me, Timothy." So you have Paul, the many witnesses, and then you have Timothy. And then he told Timothy, "These commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also." You have five generations in that one verse in 2 Timothy 2:2. And there's a continuation. And there's a development. And so we all are part of the Lord's recovery. And what is the Lord's recovery? Well, the Lord's recovery is primarily a recovery of the truth. But I would like to ask, where is that truth? Is that truth on the shelves, on bookcases, on electronic devices. And I speak this to myself. And this fellowship is not to discourage anyone. Actually, this fellowship is made to be encouraging. This fellowship is also not meant to be challenging, but sometimes we just need to step back and see where we are. And so we're the Lord's, you know, we're the Lord's recovery is a recovery of the truth. We're part of this legacy. But where is the truth today? Is the truth on our shelves, on the bookcases, in the electronic devices, or is the truth being constituted into us? One other verse, and then I'm just going to turn it over to some testimonies. We have some pretty awesome testimonies. But there's this verse, Revelation 3:17. It says, because you say, I am wealthy and have become rich and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And I was thinking a little bit about this verse. And sometimes even myself, I've been guilty of having an improper attitude toward other Christians. And we could consider other Christians, our dear brothers and sisters in Christ, many of which do not have the truth, like we do, you know, and just for example, this truth concerning, heaven. We realize that, you know, the truth concerning heaven, that's absolutely not in the Word. You actually cannot find one verse in the Bible that says that you're gonna go to heaven. There's no verse in the Bible like that. And sometimes in the conversation with Christians, on campuses, home meetings, different places, they'll just bring up, well, when I die, I'm gonna go to heaven. And a lot of times we look down on that, you know, and we'll kind of scoff at that and say, you know, that's so ridiculous. We all know we're not going to heaven, you know, but then on our side, you know, let's step back. So we realize we're not going to heaven, right? Where are we going? What are we becoming? And can we say something about that? So, anyways, just to paint a little bit of a picture. Actually, maybe just right now we can just come up. We'll have two students come up, Josh and Cece, and they're just going to share their testimony, just about how the Lord touched them with regards to this matter of getting into the ministry, and they're just going to bring out some practical fellowship related to some things that they're doing as far as scheduling, different capacity. And so anyways, just the point is just to maybe pick up some principles from all these different testimonies. But maybe we can have them come up.
Praise the Lord. Hi, saints, my name is Cece. I'm going to my fourth year at UC Irvine. I started reading life studies since my first year in college. And the reason I started is because of a testimony from a brother. When he was in college, he read one life study a day, and he was in school for 5 years, so by the time he graduated, he finished all of the life studies. And we often hear the saying that, oh, we are in the ministry of the age, and this is the ministry of the age. But how can we say that we are in this ministry when we don't even know what's in this ministry? We say that, oh, this ministry is so rich, but how can we say that when we don't even know what the riches are? So I was both encouraged and very convicted by his testimony. I was encouraged because he was also a college student. So it's possible for college students to get into life studies and even finish them all. But I was convicted because, Lord, I don't want to just have the title of this ministry but not have the reality of it. So I started reading life studies. But because I didn't have a goal and I didn't have a set schedule, for the first 2 years, my reading wasn't regular and it wasn't consistent. By the Lord's mercy, at the end of my sophomore year, I finished the life study of the four Gospels and the book of Romans. And then when the junior year came, in the beginning of junior year, I became very desperate before the Lord. I realized that I need to get into a ministry. So I set a schedule and a goal for myself. Then I started to read like life studies one message a day. By the end of this past school year, I finished the life study of Genesis, Daniel, Zechariah, plus 120 life studies of Exodus. And then some practical points that really helped me to keep reading is first to set a goal. My goal is to finish all Old Testament life studies before I graduate. And that goal is what really pushes me to go on to real life studies. And secondly is that I always do my reading before I study or do my homework. Because I know if I wait until the end of the day, I'm exhausted, I'm not going to read. And then lastly is to have a schedule. Whether read one life study a day or 1 week, whichever schedule is better than just read whenever you feel like it. So having a schedule helps with consistency. Amen.
Praise the Lord. My name is Josh Carbunk. I just finished my second year in college. And I want to present 3 points. There we go. First, how I received the burden to get into the life studies and the recovery version, and my progress. And thirdly, the impact it's had on my life. So the burden actually came similar to our sister, hearing a brother talk about that. If we read one life study a day, we'll finish it in 5 years. So I took this, and I was in ninth grade. But I wasn't consistent. You know, like many of us, I lacked the discipline. I lacked the character. But, and so it turned out that instead of finishing 1,984 messages in 5 years, I read only about 80. But recently, what happened was I started reading, you know, the ministry, other books, and I came across Elders Training Book 3 is on the way to carry out the New Testament ministry. And on there, Brother Lee, he's just so burdened that the only way that the Lord's recovery is going to go on is if we are constituted with the truth. You know, the truth, this is what is the Lord's recovery, is the truth. And so many men have given up their lives, you know, blood and sweat for the truth. And for me, I was so exposed because, you know, I have all these books in the shelves and, you know, like, oh yeah, there's the truth right there, but I don't know anything about it. So recently, this was in April, you know, I just consecrated myself to cooperate with the Lord, to really mean business with Him. You know, Lord, I want to be constituted with the truth. I want it to become the very fibers of my being. And so I started reading. I finished the life study of Genesis. I had started, had read 80, finished it in about a month, and then finished the life study of John, and then I'm halfway through Matthew, and also going along with the recovery version. And so that's my progress right now. And I just plan on doing the New Testament. I was doing two messages a day with the recovery version. And you know, the way it's impacted me, I'd say it's brought in a new revival in my life. You know, the vision is getting more solid in my being. And then I see God's purpose and how my life fits in God's purpose. And this in turn has revolutionized my living, you know, little by little. The Lord just touches things. And also my heart is being enlarged, you know, to care for others, to bring others into this vision, to bring others into this living. You know, and it's so sweet. It's so enjoyable. And an example is when in our ride over here, I was reading a book, the Law of Revival. Another brother was reading Our Human Spirit. Another brother was reading Leviticus. Another brother was reading The Normal Christian Life. And we're all just like sharing with one another, taking breaks by memorizing verses. You know, this is how I want my life to be. You know, just diving into the truth. Just being filled with oil. Amen. You know, our van was like overflowing with oil. So amazing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, saints. You know, I just want to say my going on is for you. You know, I hope you're encouraged. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Saints, I'm so encouraged. I mean, who reads Elders Training Book 3 in college? I mean, Lord Jesus. I don't think I've ever touched the Elders Training books, you know, as I was considering that. Wow, you know, that's awesome that someone would read the Elders Training Book 3 in college. And to, I mean, not to speak about any man, but, you know, even CC's and in Josh's testimony, one thing that I was touched by the most is that they heard something. They heard the burden of the Lord, either from a brother or from the elders' training book, and what did they do? They saw God. They knew what He wanted to do, and they took action. And I just want to speak concerning this matter, that really, to if we know God's heart's desire, right? What is that? No. It's in the table. Let me see. Is this? Hello. If we really know what is on God's heart's desire, right? Really, we need to take action. And right now, there is a burden of the Lord that is in the body concerning being constituted with the truth. and this is not just for now. This is definitely for your campus and your living, but even for the future, entire future of the Lord's recovery, just as Enoch shared. I was so touched by that. That really the future of the Lord's recovery depends on our being constituted with the truth. Another thing that I really wanted to mention, you know, I used to serve in the book service. So I guess this is a little bit of my testimony. And I used to work in the warehouse and in the LSM warehouse and do different kind of things. And then, you know, during the winter training, before we had the big facility, the Ministry Conference Center, we used to have a little bookstore within Building 5. And then the saints in that building, I don't know if you guys remember, they had a big banner. They had a big banner over the wall. And does anybody know what that big banner said? It said, in quotation, "It's all in the books." It's all in the books. You know where that quotation came from? You know, we've been talking about our brother, dear brother, Witness Lee. And, you know, when he was about to pass away, there was a sister who was caring for him. And that sister asked him, "Brother Lee, what is going to happen to us after you pass away?" And you know what Brother Lee said? "Sister, do not worry. It's all in the books." Saints, Lord Jesus, it's all in the books. You know, Lord Jesus, concerning God's economy, all the thing that God wants, his heart's desire, I tell you, it is jam-packed, contained in the books. And now these books are available to us. For us to purchase, to download, whatever. We could get into this ministry whenever, however we want. It's made so available to us. But the question is, kind of like Enoch shared already, is this book getting from the shelf into our hearts? Is the ministry getting into our hearts? And as you go on, I think I'll share more of the practical testimonies, and I'll just follow the coattails of the testimonies and let you know in different ways where we could pursue the ministry in our daily living. Because we could hit a spiritual high here. We could go really high. But it's not about how loud we praise the Lord here. But it is about how we go on down there. Wherever we are, we have to go on. But how do we go on day to day? This is what matters. So may the Lord really burden us so that we will have a healthy going on when we go back to our campuses. And really not going on just in the matter of, you know, cooperating with the Lord on campuses in different things, but also in the matter of the truth. Okay, at this point, I would like to call up Joyce and Zoe.
The Lord, we don't want just a conference high. But this is what I had for the past year, my freshman year. It was a conference high. I would go to college conferences, and I'd be so inspired to read the ministry. I'd go back, and a couple weeks later, I stopped. There was no consistency. But praise the Lord is sovereign. And he brought me Zoe last summer. She came to me and was like, "Joyce, you want me to ministry with me?" And I was like, "Amen, let's do it." But we didn't know where to start. And so we fellowshiped. And through our fellowship, we realized that we both really lacked in our individual Bible reading times. We were really, the word was so shallow to us. We had a very shallow understanding. So we decided to read the life studies. And where else better to start than Genesis, the first book of the Bible? And so these reading times, wow, we set one message per week. And it takes us about 1 hour to read one message because the life study of Genesis is pretty lengthy. But you know what? This 1 hour is so precious. And we gained so much. I can really testify that this time was what really preserved me and kept me in the church life my sophomore year. And honestly, like, sometimes looking back, some weeks I only had contact with the saints on Lord's Day. And the Lord's table is for the Lord. You're here to worship the Lord. So your contact with the saints is very minimal. So this one-on-one time reading with Zoe was really my salvation. It was my supply for the week. And really, I just want to echo what Brother Minoru shared at the special fellowship. If you want to read and get through the life studies, don't enjoy it. Endure it. I really want to say that this is true. I can testify this. Because sometimes we're reading and we have no idea what we just read. this is why I really, really recommend you read with a companion. Because sometimes, like, her lack is I would supply it. And my lack, she would supply it. But there are times when we both look up from a paragraph and we look at each other and we're like, did you get that? And we're like, no, okay, let's move on. Amen. Because you know why? After a couple messages, we realized the point isn't to understand and dissect everything in the life studies. The point isn't to study it like doctrine, but the point is to get some, at least a little bit, of the interpreted word into your, constituted into your being. And how do I know that I got it constituted? Sometimes I read a message and I think, Lord, I didn't get anything, but the Lord proved me wrong. Now, sometimes I'm in the message, when I'm in the meetings, just like right now, the brothers would share something, and instead of being like, dang, I had no idea that was in the Bible, I'd be like, hey, I know where that is in the Bible. Amen. And now we can both testify that our Bible readings have been revolutionized. Now our individual Bible reading times is so much richer, deeper, higher, and fuller.
Amen. Wow. Lord Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says that we would no longer be little children, but we were tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching and the sleight of men. But we would be ones to hold to truth and love, and we would grow up into him, into all things. And I feel like before reading the life study with Joyce, much of my experience with the Lord is just like the little child in the verse. And I realized recently it was because I didn't have a foundation. And because I didn't have that foundation, I was so easily swayed by my friends to go do worldly things. And it's like deep down, I knew there was no reality in them. But I just found myself doing it anyways. And I live like what that brother said the other day, where it's like I would say there's a God, but I wouldn't live like there's a God. And I would praise the Lord one day, and the next day I would just go back and just do the worldly things with my friends. But I don't know how else to say this, but that reading the life study with Joyce has been my salvation.
Amen.
And I didn't understand everything in it, and if you were to ask me to speak on it, I probably can't say much, but I can testify that through the reading, the Lord grew in me. I'm no longer that little child, Amen. You know, and through the Lord's shining, I even lost taste of the worldly enjoyments.
Amen.
And through reading with the companion, it's like the Lord's not only building a foundation in me, but he builds a foundation in me and my companion.
Right.
And I think that the one thing that really kept me and Joyce's time throughout the year was really just praying to the Lord to keep our time.
Amen.
Like, Lord, you know, we can't do this. We're not diligent. But, Lord, be the diligent one in us.
Amen.
Lord, keep our time.
Right.
And through that, guess what? The Lord kept our time.
Amen.
You know, we had a goal to read the life studies of Genesis before we graduate. And we set the time since fall quarter, last year, we set it to be Mondays at 11. And, you know, every quarter after that, even this coming up fall quarter, when we put our schedules together, Mondays at 11, we always had a gap. And praise the Lord. And one last thing that we wanted to say is that, you know, don't be intimidated by how many life study messages there are. You know, like when we first like started reading Life Study of Genesis, there was 120 messages. You know, it was kind of scary. But, you know, we gave it to the Lord. And as we were diligent to read, the numbers went down.
Right.
You know, through the past year, we read 40 messages. But, you know, now we only have 80 left. Right? That doesn't sound half as bad as 120.
Right.
You know? And I feel like as we're just diligent to read, as we give everything, our scheduling, everything to the Lord, he will really treasure our heart to
Amen.
Get to know him through the life studies.
Amen.
Man, wasn't that enjoyable? Praise the Lord. 80 sounds a lot better than 120, right? You know, my experience is the same. You know, I mean, I read the life studies, but sometimes, like, brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you, I have no idea what I read. And I'm like, everything, like, Brother Lee is saying, it just passes right over my head, and I'm just like, man, what was the title of the chapter? Like, what was I doing? You know? And sometimes I have to go back and read it over again and all these type of things. We need a lot of help, don't we?
I just wanted to highlight some of the things that they shared that I thought was just awesome. The first thing is inspiration versus endurance. Inspiration versus endurance. Many times, you know, we get inspired by experiences like this at a college training and college conferences. And when we go, we make a schedule, and we make a very crazy schedule. And I'm speaking for myself, okay? And I made a schedule. Is that I'm going to read the life studies. I'm going to read 2 messages a day every day. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to finish the life study in 2 years. And I know brothers have done this. So it's not necessarily crazy for them, but I did not have the capacity, quite that capacity to do that. But after about 2 weeks, I realized, man, I can't do this. And what happened was I kind of gave up. And I didn't know really how to go on. I was like, man, should I pick it back up where I left? Should I start over? And I get into my mind, and what do I do? Well, I stopped reading. So I hope that we would not make this kind of mistake. To set a really realistic goal is such an advantage. And one thing that Joyce and Zoe did that I thought was so helpful is there's an aspect of consistency. With realistic goals comes consistency. If we make an unrealistic goal, then our reading will be inconsistent. But if we make a realistic goal, our reading could be very consistent. And also, I appreciated what they said. They set apart a time during the week to get together to read. Isn't that good? This is like kind of like twos and threes, right? But as we do the twos and threes, what do? Do we get together and, I mean, for the brothers, do we talk about basketball and twos and threes? This is not what we do in twos and threes. It's what a good thing to redeem our time to get together and to pray and to read the ministry. Amen. To be constituted with the truth. Amen. And this kind of companionship will become our encouragement. And as we enter into it more and more, we enjoy the Lord. And what happens is that our schedule will become more consistent. And we will begin to be constituted with the truth. And third thing that I really appreciated was that because of their reading, it had an impact on their living. Wasn't that really good? You know, we have a lot of things that we enjoy, I'm sure, you know, of the habits or whatever. But if we get into the Word, the healthy diet will reconstitute you until all the things that you do enjoy in the soul, whatever, will begin to one by one drop away. You know what? Because we are having a change in our diet. You know, my wife always likes to make this kale smoothie. I just can't take it. I can't do it. You know, it's like, it's not that good unless I put in like 5 bananas. I'm not going to drink that kale smoothie. But so what she did was she put in a little bit of banana and then she started giving it to me and then, okay, this is not bad. And then she took away some bananas. And you know what happened? It's not that bad. And you know what? Also what happened was I began to see change in my, not only in what I like to eat, but my organs started working better. And I was like, this is amazing. Wow, kale smoothie is good. But you know what? When we start eating the ministry, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to have a change in your being. This is the effect that reading of the ministry will have. Just as they experienced. So, oh, Lord Jesus, when you go back home, grab a companion. This is a great way to get into the truth. And you guys filled up the survey. I have the statistics. And some of the ones, there is the question, there's a biggest barrier question. And thank you for your honest answer on I'm not disciplined enough. There was 70% of the students said you're not disciplined enough. Thank you for being honest. I like that. But 33% of you said, I do not have a partner to read with. And I sympathize with those who might be isolated in where you're living. But I would say, if you don't have a partner, get one. Okay? When you go back, if you don't have a partner, get one. Partners will become a source of accountability and encouragement so that you guys could get into the truth in a regular way. Okay? All right. Now I will go to the next testimony, Isaac.
Hallelujah, saints. We love the ministry. My name is Isaac. I'm from Vancouver, Canada. So in 2011, in the winter, brothers Andrew Yu and Chris Wild posted some videos concerning a burden to get into the ministry. And they said, the Lord's recovery is mainly a recovery of the truth. And if the young people want to bring the recovery on further, they need to get into the truth, especially the life studies. So I took this word, and I decided, I'm going to get into the life studies. And I started in Genesis, and I just wanted to read something I enjoyed in the very first message concerning reading the Bible. We should not contact the Bible without contacting the Lord. Whenever we open the Bible, we have to say, Lord Jesus, you have to be here. This is not merely a book. This is your revelation. I don't like to read this book without contacting you. I don't like to hear something from this book without hearing you. I don't like to read this book without seeing you. I like to see your face. I like to see what you are from the printed page. Lord Jesus, enlighten your word and anoint every line that I may touch you. We need such a spirit to contact this living word. So this very portion, it even changed the way that I approach the word. And the ministry is just full of these kind of prayers. The ministry not only constitutes you with the truth, but it also equips you with an arsenal of prayers that supplies life and infuses Christ in your daily living. Amen. So I personally read most of the life study messages while I was riding the bus. And I've used various resources just to keep me on track. There's an app called Life Study Reading Schedule that's available for the iPhone. You probably can't see it. But it basically shows you your progress in reading the life studies. Like right now I'm in Genesis, and there's like a calendar, and you can check every message, and it shows you your progress in percentages. And it's free, so you should go get it. It's available for the iPhone. I don't know about other phones. And the second one is excellentbeliever.com. This allows you to make groups to get into the life studies to track your progress, and you can insert comments that sends an email to all your group members of your enjoyment. And if you don't keep up with your reading in 30 days, you get kicked out of the group. So it is very, it's very encouraging. You see each other's progress. You share each other's enjoyment. And so excellentbeliever.com. And recently up in Vancouver, we decided we're going to get into the first 40 life study messages of Genesis before the summer training. So we made a Facebook group. And this was also very effective in keeping us accountable. If you want to know more about that, you can ask me later. So the results of using these resources is a regular, consistent, and healthy getting into the word and the ministry long term. I can really testify that getting into it in a regular way is so healthy. And right now, I finished the life studies of Daniel, of Zechariah, the minor prophets, and according to my app, I'm 75.8% done with Genesis. So saints, be encouraged. We need to get into the ministry and the word. And I just want to end with a verse, 1 John 2:14. Young men, I have written to you because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Okay. So in Vancouver, we made a Facebook group page, and every day there will be a scheduled message. So like Monday, message one. I can't remember the title, but to keep yourself accountable, first, if you read it, you had to like that post. And if you want a further reward, we got a ministry book after we finished our reading. You had to post your enjoyment. So like a portion from the ministry, or, you know, maybe a testimony as you were reading it. And if you did that for all 40 messages, we got a book. It's Christ Being the Burden for the Gospel, or Burden of the Gospel. So that was our Facebook page, and it was very effective. It keeps you accountable. If you don't like the page, everyone knows you're not reading your life studies. So it's good. Saints, we need to go on in a corporate way. And this is so encouraging. We need to get into the ministry and into the word.
Every time Every time I hear those testimonies for something, I cannot stop smiling. Because it's so good. It's so good to hear these testimonies and how all these students go on. And, brothers in Austin, they have a phrase called, technology is a dirty camel. Technology is a dirty camel. You know, internet, it's filled with a lot of dirty stuff. You know, you go to like the, you know, Apple App Store or like a Android App Store. I mean, filled with all kinds of stuff. You don't want that. But we could ride the dirty camel and download the Life Study Reading app, which tells you what percentage you have finished for the Life Study of Genesis. And, you know, for me, I actually use Kindle quite a bit. I buy the Kindle books and as I read, it's very convenient. And what I do is I just highlight it and I just, with a tap of my finger, I could post it on Facebook. With a tap of my finger, I post it on Facebook, the ministry portions. And the saints who happen to follow my posts, which are not many, seem to like it. Isn't that good? It's so easy for us to share our enjoyment of the Lord, of the ministry by using a dirty camel. So let's take advantage. And I also really enjoyed the Facebook one. You know, the us in Long Beach, we had a Bible reading challenge on the Facebook. And if you did not post your verse of the day, we knew you were not reading. And what do we do after when we know what we don't go to him and say, David, how dare you not read the Bible? You need to read your Bible, brother. Is that what we do? No, we didn't do that. But we knew they were not reading. So you know what I did? We pray for them. Pray for the ones who are not reading. Isn't that good? And you know, my wife uses excellentbelievers.com and she's in a life study, reading challenge with a life study of Galatians, okay? And, so she hasn't read for a few days. And whoever's from Long Beach, do not speak to my wife. concerning this, or I'll get in big trouble. And she did not read it for a few days, and what happened was, her reading companion texted her and said, so, how is that life study of Galatians going? with a little question mark and a little smiley face. You know? And, you know, and my wife read that, and you know what she said? She said, man, I need to read the life study of Galatians! We could use these things to really make our reading enjoyable, encouraging, accountable, possible. It brings reading of the ministry out of the realm of impossibility. We could use these things to pursue the Lord with one another. So may we really, really take advantage of every opportunity we have. Because we have so much. We have so many ways. We have so many people to get into the ministry with. So this is not a small thing. And then also, you know, Isaac, when we were going over the testimonies, he mentioned that reading of the ministry really made his living stable. Reading stable. And I would like to say, you know, how many of us uses the Holy Word for Morning and Bible, right? And I think a good majority of us probably get into them. But the reading of the Holy Word for Morning and Revival is not a replacement for reading of the ministry. And I'll give an illustration for this. You know, we had a very good breakfast today. Can you eat so much breakfast to the point where you cannot eat lunch and dinner? And let's say you did. Can you stop eating for the entire week because you ate entire week's worth of food, which is physically impossible? Well, reading of the ministry is like eating your lunch and eating your dinner. If we just eat breakfast, what happens throughout the day? We get hungry and we get weak. And when the saints come and then the saints come and say, oh, brother so-and-so, let's go preach the gospel. What happens? I don't want to. No life, no vitality, no health. We have no motivation. Oh, let's set up the table. Let's go contact the new ones. Oh, no energy. Oh, it's okay. You guys can go ahead and do it. No energy. But you know what? When you get into the ministry, you know what's going to happen? It's going to fill you up. It's going to give you energy for you to participate with the Lord in His move where you are. This is our food. So we need to care for our diet, brothers and sisters. Brothers and brother sisters. Amen. All right, so the next testimony will be Rayu. Where are you?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hi, I'm Rayu. I'm going to be a third year at Berkeley. And I just want to share something about getting into the ministry related to speaking. And I started reading the testimony because I had an appointment with a new one. And what I realized was, as I went to the appointment, we just talked about, you know, school. We talked about sports. But there was no Christ involved. And I felt like as the appointments went on, I had nothing to give him. I had nothing to feed him. He was supposed to be my spiritual child, but I wasn't feeding him. He wasn't growing. So I went to the Lord and, you know, pointed to the ministry. So I began to read. And it was very good. You know, ministry is food. The word is food. But at a certain point, I realized that I wasn't getting too much out of it. I picked up a couple of things, and I could share a couple of things with this new one, but I wasn't getting enough. I wasn't being satisfied, and he wasn't being satisfied. And so I prayed again. I went to fellowship with some brothers, and eventually I watched a video on a biography of our dear brother, Howard Higashi. And one of the things that they brought up was whenever he read a life study message, he would have a page of notes with it. Every life study he read had a page of notes. And I was inspired because, you know, we do this in school, right? We take notes, we have to study for tests, but, you know, why not do this for the Bible? Why not do this for the ministry? And I felt like this was, for me, this was the perfect way to go about reading the ministry. And so I have this journal with me. This is my first one. I started 10 months ago. I'm about halfway through it. And I fill it with everything that I've read, everything that I've heard, everything that I've enjoyed. So pretty much every reading session that I have, there will be one entry per book or message or speaking or even fellowship with some other saints. Whatever I enjoyed goes in this book. And I felt like when I go to my appointments, I have something to feed him. I have food, right? When you're a parent taking care of a kid, you don't want to let your kid starve, right? You want to feed them. And you want them to be satisfied, because when they're satisfied, they're happy, and they're growing. And so as I kept reading, I kept growing, he kept growing, we both became more related, you know, the appointments became not just about academics or not just about sports, but about the Lord. I've read through about 7 or 8, I started with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, read through All Inclusive Christ. That was a really good book. Actually, there's a lot of points in that book. If it wasn't for my note-taking, I don't think I would have gotten nearly as much as I did. I kind of want to read one, my very first post, or very first entry. Sorry, too much Facebook. So this is something I would write, an example. So this was the All-Inclusive Christ. The stream is in the valley, but the spring is in the mountains. Only when we experience Christ as our water during our times of trouble and sorrow can we be the springs of water to others. Amen. And just stuff like this, eventually the Lord can use. Because if you don't have it, you know, solidly in your memory, the Lord has no way to constitute that into your being organically. And so as I kept writing and reading, the Lord had a way to speak to me and as a result speak to that new one I was taking care of. And so now, you know, this one, he's meeting with us. He's going to the Bible studies. He's going to the Lord's table meetings. And now, and during our appointments, you know what? He also feeds me. He also speaks. And so I'm really encouraged that when I spoke, right, the Lord used me as a pattern. And now he speaks. He gets into the ministry. And when he's constituting his being, he can also feed others. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, the couple things that Rayu mentioned, I just wanted to highlight. And this is, we kind of went over the matter of being consistent, having a schedule, getting a companion, using different methods to really encourage us, to go on together. And I'd like to highlight one point is that how to study the truth. And, of course, there's many ways of studying the truth. And, I mean, we go to college, right? And we studied various things. I mean, I was a history major, so I was a note taker. I took a lot of notes, and I made outlines. I mean, every history major, you guys should know a key to your major, and that is, if you want to write a good research paper, you have to write a good outline. And I applied my education to studying the Bible. So you know what I did? Every time I read the life studies, what I did was I outlined the messages. and I put it into outline where I could actually, and then I'll go over them, I'll learn how to speak them. And those who, I'm not boasting, but I mean, anybody who knows me and knows my Bible knows that my Bible is scribbled with all kinds of ink. People call my Bible the color book and have all kinds of things written on it. You know where they're from? That's, I outlined the life studies and I put it in here, in this book. So when I open the book of the Bible, what I see is that I see the outline of the life study with the verses. And I could go over them all the time. And I'm like, and then what else I do is after I read it, you know, sometimes there's a prayer within me that rises up and I would write down those prayers that I prayed and I would date it. So I know like, oh, you know, this time, this day, I remember I prayed that prayer. And I would get into the truth in this way. And it was so good. And one of the verses in the book of Ezra, I mean, if you guys have read the book of Ezra, Ezra was an interesting person. And it says, and I'll just read this one verse to you. It says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe, skilled in the law of Moses, which Jehovah, the God of Israel, had given." And this is another verse. "Now this is the copy of the letter that King Antaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest, the scribe, a scribe of the words of the commandments of Jehovah and of his statutes for Israel." And at this point, why do I read that verse? Because Ezra was a priest and he was a scribe. He was a priestly scribe. And at that time, the children of Israel went back, right? And then they built a temple. But, hey, temple's up, but we don't know how to worship. We don't know how to live. What do we do? You know what happened? Ezra, a priestly scribe who knew the law of God, went back to the land and showed them how to live. This Ezra, I'll just read this one footnote here. "After rebuilding of the temple under the leadership of Zerubbabel, the people were still unruly, for they had become Babylonian in their constitution." Aren't we all Babylonian in our constitution? "Therefore, there was the need for an Ezra, one who was both a priest who served God and also a scribe, a scholar, who was skilled in the word of God, skilled in the law of Moses. Ezra bore the totality of the heavenly and divine constitution and culture. He brought the people back to the word of God that they might be re-educated and reconstituted with the heavenly truths in the divine word." May we all be Ezras wherever we go. When we are constituted with the truth, you know what happens? We'll be able to reconstitute the people we contact. But how he studied the word, he was a scribe, meaning he wrote down a lot of stuff. I know your hand hurts, but it's okay. Write things down. Actually, it will really help you. Take some notes when you study the Bible. This will really help you to get into the truth. And to conclude this time, I would just like to bring up some words. And that is, I just like to highlight some of the things that were brought out. Do what is possible. Don't do something that is impossible. Don't decide to read the life study in 1 year, the entire life study in 1 year. It's probably... is going to be discouraging for you. So find first set. I'll give you three set. First set, set a goal. Set a realistic goal. I know in the churches in California, I know many of them do a 2 life study messages a week. This is very good.
Yeah.
2 life study messages a week. That's very good. So this is a very realistic goal, right? Set a realistic goal. And I will say second set is set a schedule. And by that is not, by that I mean not just the goal, but what day are you going to read the life study? What time are you going to read the life study? Who are you going to read the life study with? Set a concrete schedule. If you don't set a schedule, trust me, it will not happen. I could testify this from my own experience. If I say to myself, oh yeah, I will read it tomorrow, Tomorrow never comes, brothers and sisters. It just never comes. You know, it's like tomorrow turns into tomorrow, and then that tomorrow turns into another tomorrow. Forget about it. Forget about it. Set a time, set a schedule. And third set is set your heart. Set your heart. And I'd like to echo a burden that came out, and that is the matter of the exercise of our spirit, and the matter of power, and the matter of our will. You know, I'm not a particularly a strong willed person. So something that I pray to the Lord all the time is this. Lord, strengthen my will with your very life. I pray this all the time. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you would pray this all the time. And set your heart. And this is, I will just read another verse in Ezra just to finish. He's in chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah and to do it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." Lord, I really pray that all of you will set your heart to carry out a practical goal and a schedule that you have set with one another to pursue the Lord in the ministry. And this will cause you to be constituted with the truth and will make you useful wherever you go.